Ms. Ellen, could you do the roll call, please?
Commissioner Custodio.
Here.
Commissioner Gonzalez.
Here.
Commissioner Perez.
Here.
Commissioner Tartaglia.
Here.
Commissioner, Chairman Hudson.
Here.
Thank you. Seeing no one in the audience, we'll bypass the public comment portion and go to consent agenda on the second page. Number one, minutes of the special meeting, April the 3rd, 2014. And on the next page, it refers to it as a regular meeting. So I don't know if you want to, I don't know if it's a regular meeting or a special meeting, if that makes any difference.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it was a regular meeting.
Regular?
So it's correct on the minutes, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So regular meeting. Mm-hmm. Okay. Has everyone had a chance to look at those minutes? Okay. I would entertain a motion to accept those minutes.
I will move to approve.
We have a motion to approve.
I'll second that.
And we have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? It carries. Just as a special note, Mr. Gonzalez will need to leave the meeting for family reasons, so it's excused at 5:45.
Okay. You can be quick.
All right. Let's go to the public hearing on page 2, item number 2, consideration of text amendment application number 201402. And Ellen, would you like to lead us in discussion on that?
I would, thank you.
Okay.
Good evening, Chairman, members of the Planning Commission. The item before you tonight is our third installment of text amendments in the of our series of text amendments. This is related to repealing Title 10, Chapter 6A, which is the Residential Estate Zone District, and also adding a chapter to the subdivisions, Title 11, which is, and we're adding Chapter 12, which is the merger of contiguous parcels. So the overall intent of all of the text amendments that we've done so far and the current one is to continue to implement our general plan update, which was adopted in February, and to also create a more user-friendly municipal code for the developers to use, for staff to use, and for the general public to use. But specifically for this text amendment, the intent is to kind of take a second look at the residential estate zone district and what it's used for now compared to how it should be used as a residential estate district, to kind of act as a transition zone district between more rural agricultural uses and urbanized uses. So it would act as an area of transition. Okay. And the intent of adding the Chapter 12, which is the merger of contiguous parcels, is to allow for the voluntary merger of contiguous parcels that may be undevelopable or bypassed because they don't meet current minimum lot sizes or a variety of reasons. And so those parcels can be merged if they have the same owner and if they share at least one boundary. As you know, our general plan update was adopted in February, and we also had a work implementation plan put in place, which lists the policies and procedures to be implemented from the general plan. And so that kind of provides a checklist and a report card for council and this body to kind of for staff to update you on the progress of the implementation of our general plan. Specifically, one of the policies in the general plan and in the work implementation plan is COSP 4.3.3, which refers to agricultural land and the impacts that development may have on agricultural land and to mitigate the unnecessary conversion of ag land. So that policy is something that we focused on during this text amendment through amending the residential estate district and then allowing the merger of parcels. To kind of go into a little bit of detail, the residential estate district, we're proposing to repeal it in its entirety and replace it with property development standards, a list of permitted and conditional uses, as well as kind of a disclaimer of the fact that since if this is rezoned in the city, it'll be close to agricultural land, so there may be effects on this property that ag land would cause, such as if they're spraying pesticides or anything like that. So there's kind of a disclaimer added on to this zone district. And there's also a 100-foot agricultural buffer between, that'll be in the zone district, that's between the rural use and the urban use. So that's also added into this zone district. We also added property development standards, as I said, information about fences, walls, and hedges, and kind of how the property can be developed. So that is all included in this amendment. And for the merger of contiguous parcels, we basically kind of go through, it's compliant with the Subdivision Map Act, and there's applications that that would be submitted, and so it kind of follows the Subdivision Map Act as to how the parcels can be merged. The Reedley Municipal Code allows the initiation of a text amendment, so the city manager authorized this text amendment, and we drafted it. We also went through, passed it through the advisory panel, which we have done in the last two ordinances that we, or the text amendments that we did, and we didn't receive any comments from them. And as the same as the previous text amendment in terms of the environmental review, we had found that that there's no impacts that this text amendment could cause on the environment and no new mitigation measures that are required because that was covered under the general plan update EIR. And that about concludes my report. I'm welcome to answer any questions you may have.
I just have one on the 100-foot corridor between commercial and private. Mm-hmm. Whose land would that be?
That would be on the parcel that's zoned as residential estate.
So, it would come off the residential side of it then?
Correct, yeah. It would be on the parcel that's zoned as residential estate. So that would mostly, if the city were to rezone, or property owner would to rezone their property as RE, so that the 100-foot buffer would border the agricultural land, which would most likely be county land, and then it would go 100 feet into their property.
So if I might, just a point of clarification. The buffer is a little, it's a different jargon than we normally use. Normally we talk about setbacks.
Right.
So, you know, this is really like a side yard setback. So normally, as we all know, if you had two residential lots and you had a five foot setback, it would be 5 foot from the property line to where the nearest building could be. In this case, because this is a transitional district and we're trying to recognize and make sure that, you know, an agricultural use that's pre-existing is there and can continue to operate effectively and efficiently without creating any kind of impact, you know, we called it a 5 foot buffer in the context of what we're trying to convey. But it really, what it is, it's a setback.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And also to kind of add on to that, the minimum, if you look in the property development standards, the minimum lot size is 30,000 square feet. So these would be really large lots. Mm-hmm. And so that buffer would be able to be applied to this zone district, and then they could still have a pretty sizable house and yard as well.
And I think the verbiage called for 45% footprint on the mm-hmm. building. Is that correct?
That's correct.
That would be a maximum.
Maximum.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's no restriction to second story construction then?
I think we had a height.
Yeah, we do have a maximum height.
There was a height.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. 40 feet for primary structures. And then accessory buildings have a 35 foot maximum height.
Is the buffer or setback, use the analogy of a building, and it has to be set back so many feet from the property line. for the purpose of. Is the purpose the same, though, in this context? Is the reason for the setback the same?
The reason for the setback is, if this is zoned as RE, so there is that kind of disclaimer, if you will, that there might be some effects that the agricultural land will have on the zone district. So there's kind of that. And so then the reason for the buffer is to kind of, even though those effects will be there, they'll be...
To address...
Yeah, so it'll be a little...
Okay, so it's a little different. Okay. Any other questions, comments? All right, so what we have before us is resolution, the resolution?
Correct, yeah.
201404?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, staff's recommendation is to find that no new environmental document is required for the project, and staff also recommends approval to the City Council of this text amendment.
You guys see that? It says page 1 of 3, resolution number 2014-04. It goes for 3 pages. Okay. All right. So we have a resolution before us. We would need a motion from one of you to approve resolution number 2014-04.
I make a motion that we move on 2014-04.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Could we do a roll call vote on that one?
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Commissioner Tartaglia?
Yes.
Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Gonzalez?
Yes.
Chairman Hudson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Now, let's move on to the second, or actually it's the third item on page 2 of the agenda. Recommend approval of City of Reedley Integrated Master Plan for Potable Water, Sanitary Sewer, and Storm Drainage Systems dated May of 2014. Mr. Fabino looks like he's going to address that.
Chairman Hudson, members of the Planning Commission, Kevin Fabino, Community Development Department. As a segue into this topic, I'd like to take just a minute and kind of go back in your packet. There's something called the Reedley General Plan 2030 Update Work Implementation Plan. I want to bring that to your attention just because this item, the item you just considered and the last item that you'll be asked to consider later this evening are all policy-related documents that implement the general plan but are clearly outlined in this document. And I'd like to respectfully suggest to the Commission you might want to really familiarize yourself with it. We are going to have a lot of activities over the next year of things related to the contents of this particular document. And so, you can look at that and you can kind of guess the things that are going to be coming before you over the next several months, whether it be amending the zoning code, whether it be putting new policies into place. We're also going to ask you to pass resolutions that really are to memorialize your action to make sure that we have a good record that, these policies and some even like the last matters of policy discussion is brought before you and we have a way to acknowledge that it was memorialized before a public body. All these matters will eventually go on to the council as well. And we have indicated that we will also periodically provide you updated reports, and we will do that as well as we go along. So that being said, I appreciate you allowing me to take that little tangent. I can move into the next item on your agenda, which is the consideration of the integrated master plan for potable water, sewer, and the storm drain system. As in most cities, these are typically three distinct independent documents. The city council and members of this body, I think, probably you, Ted, maybe, and maybe Ron, when the general plan originally started, the council and because that was a joint, the general plan update committee was a joint committee made up of both council and planning commissioners, had the wisdom to also recognize that with the new general plan, you really needed to update your master plan for potable water, sewer, and storm drain. Kind of made sense when you're thinking about growth and areas in which the city will expand to over the planning horizon to 2030. So with that in mind, several years ago, the city did go out. They hired a very good engineering firm. That engineering firm's worked with staff, especially with me, very closely over the last year, and we've worked hand in hand as we walked through the general plan so that they knew what we were doing with the general plan so they could, from an engineering standpoint, make sure that all the public wet infrastructure systems were designed in a way to accommodate what we were projecting in our general plan. And we think they've done a really, really good job. That being said, before you this evening is the integrated master plan for those three wet utilities. Basically, the plan in and of itself is broke down into three components. It is and does have a significant section related to the baseline, or what we call the baseline. Baseline really is an identification of what we have today. And it is really kind of interesting if you look through those baselines. You know, when they talk about how many miles of piping we have in the city, or how much roadway, or how much storm drain capacity we have, I thought those were kind of just some really interesting tidbits of information as we go along. The second phase is really the baseline plus projects through 2020, which is kind of more an immediate planning horizon. And then obviously the phase two is really baseline 20 through the build out of the general plan, whenever that may be. So that one of the things that I like that they did was, we think that if we did this right, and if things go the way we expect over the next 15 to 20 years, the planning sphere of influence may last another 5, 7, or 10 years. So they have designed this system for that, for the ultimate build out, not based on a year. So we commend them for that, and we thought that was a really good strategy as they put this together. So generally speaking, then the question is so what are we going to do with these plans now that we have them? And ironically enough, several months ago, we took and started some conversation with the council with respect to the capital improvement program, CIP, basically. And this will, in future years, become part of that program. So every year we'll take back 5, 10, 15 projects in a number of categories: water, sewer, it could be fire hydrants, it could be all kinds of things. And then the council will give us kind of a priority or ranking. It may not be explicitly 1, 2, or 3, but it might be these are our top three projects, these are our next three projects. That helps staff out immensely. One, because we can budget for it. Two, as we go out and look for sources of money, you know, it helps us because maybe the number one project doesn't exactly fit the grant application, whereas three does. So we have some wiggle room as we kind of set that program into place. The city could probably spend, according to this, about $7 million a year for the next 10 or 15 years, and that would cure all the problems of the past, all the problems kind of in the next 20 years or so, 15 years, and then another $7 million every year thereafter you know, presuming that development would come along with that. That is not, and I don't want anybody to walk away, especially the paper, thinking that the city has a price tag of $7 million every year. That's not true. It's based on development, and that development, as they pay the development impact fees, and all of you know this because we've talked about it enough, but those development impact fees are designed to offset the costs that would be borne for the infrastructure. And the other thing I can tell you is that we're pretty excited because it has been a long process. We do think it's great that it was companioned and kind of in hand with the general plan, but it also does something else for us, and that is it sets the basis or one of the critical tools for which we can now go out and look at our impact fees on the whole. So impact fees are based on your costs, and then those costs are developed, kind of generally speaking, distributed across your land uses. So with this tool, that will help us with that analysis and be able to appropriately assess and determine what potential impact fees could be charged. And that'll be a council decision. But my point to telling you all that was more just this document serves more than just gives us a list of projects. It served us very well in the general plan and the process of getting the general plan up and going. It serves us immediately with respect to CIP, and it serves us in a long-term capacity with respect to paying for infrastructure, but also making sure that our impact fees are appropriately at the right level they should be. That concludes staff's report. If you have any questions about the master plans, you know, let me know. I'm more than happy to answer anything I can for you.
Gentlemen. You indicated that that this is good data.
Excellent data. Yeah.
And I know you love to stay up late and read that stuff. Now, this data you're saying helps set impact fees because it gives you a baseline, right?
Correct.
Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Did, when you looked at all the data and you looked at what our current impact fees are, did it surprise you? The baseline data surprise you at all, or did it?
So let me unhitch.
Did it keep you up at night, or did it surprise you?
Actually, let me unhitch those wagons, because you hitch two things together that really need to be separated. Was I surprised to understand and get the data with respect to the existing condition? No. But that's unrelated to impact fees. What we would look at, typically, there's two things that we look at. So I'm prefacing for you the conversation that will come. Where do we stand in the marketplace, and what's reasonable? Meaning, you know, if we looked at the surrounding cities, where are we in comparison to them? And then that becomes a policy call. Are we way above? Does that mean we think we will not get development, encourage development? You know, I mean, I don't know what that does. If we're at the other end, maybe encourages development, but we don't get to do what we really need to do with keeping pace of. So that's a whole policy conversation unto itself. I don't know the answer. The other answer is how we fare, because I don't really, you know, I think there's been enough time that's passed since they did the last impact fee report that I'm not sure that there's a lot of validity to what there is today to make those same nexus or rationale to how they drove their conclusions. The other thing is it doesn't take into account the new stuff or the new areas that we're looking at. So that's why I said we got to unhitch them. That's a whole nother story. We're just about to start walking down. It'll be really interesting, very fascinating. I can't wait to start to see where it's going to take us. I have no preconceived notions about, like, a dollar figure for storm drains got to be this or that, you know. We'll just see how that unfolds. But was I surprised to hear that we had that kind? No, not really. Very typical.
On page one of the resolution, 201405, there's a word that jumped out at me in the first paragraph. The word independently, was that just a generic kind of word, or are you trying to send a message that this is a little bit different, that that they were independently developed previously?
So
is that normal, or is that just a normal verbiage, or are you trying to say they shouldn't have been independently developed?
This is one of those, the council asks this question regularly, which is, I think, kind of the underpinning of how do we compare and how do others do it? And I kind of go like, it doesn't make any difference. Okay. You know, it's, if you look at historically the plans that we have, you know, 1 year you do this, and a couple of years you do that. Do they look at them? Sure they do. But were they produced at a comprehensive level? Mm-hmm. And from a practical standpoint, one of the things that's really nice about this, and we hope it will provide the utility, no pun intended, that we think it will, is, you know, doesn't everybody hate it when the city paves a new street and then they cut it up because they got to put a new water line down, and then they patch it, and then, I mean, isn't that the proverbial story? And then they come back and they cut another trench down the middle and they put this, you know, another line down. So one of the ideas, hopefully with a more integrated approach in a single place.
Okay. So there is some,
you know,
a little bit.
It wasn't maybe
a little bit of preaching there.
It's. No.
It's just the way it was done.
It was just the way it was done.
Mm. But had you not put the word independent in there, we wouldn't have known that.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions, guys? Okay, we're looking at resolution number 2014-05, two pages. And we're going to act upon that. Do we have a motion to accept resolution number 201405?
Also moved.
We have a motion to accept that resolution. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a second from Mr. Perez. Can we do a roll call vote?
Mm-hmm. Commissioner Tartaglia.
Yes.
Commissioner Perez.
Yes.
Commissioner Custodio.
Yes.
Commissioner Gonzalez.
Yes.
Chairman Hudson.
Yes. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Fabino.
Thank you.
Okay. Our next item is item number 4 on the agenda, consideration of the implementation of General Plan Update 2030, Land Use Policy LU 2.5.8. And Ms. Ellen, would you lead us, please? He's got a movie. Pete likes movies.
I do.
Who doesn't?
Thank you, Chairman, members of the Planning Commission. So this item is related to Land Use Policy 2.5.8. This was one of the policies approved in the general plan, and it's also in the work implementation plan. So basically what staff has done is if we go to the Land Use Policy 2.5.8, if you're looking at the work implementation plan, I believe it's on the first page. The second one down states that the city shall not support annexing land for residential development until at least 80% of the existing residentially designated land inside the city limits is developed. So staff wanted to determine whether we actually have 80% of land that's designated residential and designated developed. So we did a mapping exercise to kind of determine that number and where we are and whether we exceed the 80% or not. So you do have two exhibits with you this evening, but I kind of wanted to make it a little bit easier to kind of show the process of elimination that staff went through when doing this mapping exercise. Actually, let me turn the lights off.
Thank you.
So the exhibits are kind of, there are two maps, but they kind of combined a lot of information. So I tried to kind of separate that information out and show you the process of elimination. So unfortunately, the map is kind of large. So you'll kind of see some of the parcels fading away based on, you know, their designation or whether they're developed or not. But first, so as you can see, staff looked at the updated general plan land use map to see everything that was designated as residential. So including single family, including low, medium, and high density. And so we also looked at what was in the current city limits. So everything that was designated as residential within the current city limits, you can see in gray here and in the PowerPoint slides that I passed out to everybody on the dais. But so right now we have approximately 1,371 acres that are designated as residential per the general plan. And so next we looked at the residentially designated parcels. So we removed ones that couldn't build a house on them, basically like a typical 1,500 square foot lot. Anything less than a 1,500 square feet we removed just because you couldn't develop anything substantial on that lot, maybe a garden or fence or something. But for these purposes, we eliminated those. And we also took out anything that was a permitted use. So this, anything like a church or a school, which is permitted in a residential district, but it's not a residential use. So it's a house, or excuse me, yeah, church or school. So we eliminated those. So right now I have them outlined in blue, and you can see on your maps that they're also outlined in blue in Exhibit A. And so that was about 31 acres. So we removed those from the map, so now we have 1,340 acres of residentially designated land. And then we removed residentially designated land that has a subdivision map on it. So there is, so development is imminent in these places. So you can see on Reed Avenue near Emanuel School, that large parcel that has a map on it. And then you can also see there's a small map on Button Willow, kind of by Manning. And there's also one on the corner of Manning and Zumwalt. So those are outlined in green. There's also one on Frankwood between Olson and Shoemake. So those all have tentative maps on them right now. And so those were removed because development is imminent there. So those fade away, and now we have, so that was about 104 acres taken out, so now we have 1,236 acres approximately. Then we looked at, of the remaining residentially designated land, we looked at the parcels that were developable, or in other words, they were vacant, because that's not part of what we're looking for, because we're looking for designated and developed land as residential. So that was about 90 acres. And the coloring here is different. The yellow is single family and the orange is multiple family. So we took out 90 acres. So now we have a total of 1,146 acres that are residentially designated and residentially developed inside the city limits. So if you take the remaining the developed and designated residential land over the residentially designated land, we come to 93% of Reedley that's developed right now. So we exceeded the threshold by about 13%. So, once again, the policy states that we shall not support annexing land until at least 80%. So since we exceeded this threshold, it's staff recommends that there be support for annexing any land for future residential development.
Say that last part again. Since we've reached the threshold.
Mm-hmm. We can now support, I mean, we can now annex land into the city with planning commission or city council support. So that's discretionary. But yeah, since we exceeded that threshold, you know, we can accept applications for annexation or maps outside of the city limits. And while we, and so the whole intent of this is to kind of like we're still kind of in agricultural land and trying to conserve it, so we're not, you know, kind of going into sprawl or having a lot of large annexed land. You know, we're trying to do, we're trying to manage urban growth as best we can to avoid the unnecessary conversion of agricultural land. So that's kind of why this policy is in place. So we're not kind of trying to expand into large areas of the county if we still don't have a lot of development within Reedley. So that's kind of why this policy was developed. And so at the same time, even though we have this policy in place and we're looking to annex out if there's development that comes in, we're also still, this mapping exercise was also helpful because we can now see what is vacant within the city limits, and so we can support infill development. And if someone comes in and wants to possibly build a house or two or a multiple family project, we can show them where the vacant parcels are in the city that they can work with.
So because I know we're running out of time, that this conversation is absolutely critical to looking at the city of Reedley. I mean, it's truly the double-edged sword. It's the city should be commended because it has been great stewards of the land and developing in a very compact manner. At the same time, really only 7% of the land that is designated for residential development is available to be developed, which means we're at a point where in the very near future we are going to have to annex. So it's we're to be commended on one hand because we've done a great job, but we're also at that place where annexations are going to have to occur. The other component to that, and it's kind of an economic development issue, and that is that what that really says is we don't have a lot of land available for development. It's going to be very difficult if you look, if somebody wanted to develop a 20-acre parcel for subdivisions, you literally have four choices in the city of Reedley. Mm-hmm. And so this is, you know, we're glad we could exceed the threshold, but it does raise a number of policy questions that we're going to have to deal with over the next couple years. Again, this turned out, you know, again, it's that double-edged sword, but we're also, I've asked Ellen to go ahead and do something for commercial as well, the commercial zone districts, because I think this exercise has been great because it does set the framework for some really great policy discussions that'll come up in the near future. But it is, you know, like I said, it is, the city is to be commended by virtue of its diligence and compact development. But we're also at a place where, you know, not a lot of places to go.
To expand?
Yeah. So we should not be surprised in the future when development comes in and they want to expand city boundaries because it's where the land is and is available. So it becomes our responsibility to figure out how do we continue the efforts of the city and encourage compact development even as it grows. So anyway. Ellen's done a great job with this. This is one of the first kind of really good GIS exercises that we've had. She is our GIS department now. See, I told you were a director. so, no, Pete, I said it. So she's done a really good job with this particular project.
And so the two exhibits you have, Exhibit A shows what was removed from the initial, because this exercise, the PowerPoint, you know, kind of having things fading out, that was to kind of explain the rationale as to how we got our percentages. So I apologize if I went too fast or anything, but the two exhibits, they kind of squashed things together. So the Exhibit A is showing where the tentative maps are and where the public institutions are, like the churches or schools. And so then in Exhibit B, those things that were outlined in green or blue, those were taken out. And so now you just see what is vacant. And so if you go, so this map right here is showing the 1,146 acres, which is where we get the percentage of 93%. So I'm happy to go back to anything if you have any other questions, but that concludes my report.
Questions?
I hope this is not a redundant question, but are there, and I need to phrase it properly probably, are there any developers with uncompleted subdivisions that they have already paid their fees for, impact fees for, and because of the economy did not complete the project? Is that a clear question?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so it's a really kind of complex question in that we have this is a hard one. Okay, so we have several developments. We have several pieces of property that have what are called tentative tract maps on them. They have not gone to final map, which means the land has not been subdivided. So we have, those are on idle, if you will.
Owned by?
A number of people. There's several of them. And I can provide that list to you. I can give you a list. They have expirations under the law, that they are good for only so long. There are, at the other side of the spectrum, there is, the next step in that process is a final map. There are currently 17 lots legally subdivided, ready to be built on in the city of Reedley. Those are a project that was at Myrtle and Buttonwillow. Those lots are ready to go. Somebody could walk in. If the sellers would sell, they, you know, if they could do the capitalistic thing and come to an agreement, they could buy them and build tomorrow. When they come to pull building permits is when they would actually pay impact fees. So your question about have they paid them? No, they haven't. But they haven't been legally required to, because there's mapping processes they have to go through. There's a tentative map. Yes, we've probably got, I'm going to guess, I'll be relatively close, about what are called 300 paper lots. We have 17 finished lots.
The paper lots are that nothing has happened to the land, but the finished lot, the 17 are, there's poles, there's utilities ready to go.
No, actually all it is all we're talking about is legal subdivision of land. So there is a piece of land that is a single piece under one owner that has a tentative tract map on it.
Yeah.
The next, which has been approved and it's hanging out there. The next step is they go to final map. The final map process is what actually subdivides that single piece into all those lots.
For example, the large property along the river, that would be a tentative subdivision map. So that those lots haven't been subdivided. Yeah, so, but if you look in the vacant parcel, I know they're kind of small, but there's 10 vacant lots kind of on the eastern side of the city. We're on above north of Dinuba Avenue in that subdivision. There's 10 lots that have already been subdivided. And in this case, all the other houses have been built around them, but those 10 still remained unbuilt. So they have, so once, if someone pulls a building permit, then they would pay their development impact fees and build the house there. So that's just providing some examples.
So the example you gave of Myrtle and Buttonwillow, that is the one kind of catty-corner from the bank in that area right there.
Right behind John's.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
Does that make sense? That's a really important process that we go through to understand, is there's tentative maps, there's final maps, and that's a distinction. The developer comes in with a tentative and says, I want to develop. Will you approve my project? And we approve the project. He then goes through a whole nother process, which is basically the final map process, which is he designs all of the streets and dedicates the land to the city and where all the infrastructures, street improvements, utility improvement plans get done. And then finally, when he files that map, it creates the individual lot that each house will be built on, or whatever the case may be.
Thank you. Any further comments, questions? Okay, what we have before us is resolution number 2014-06. I need a motion.
I'll do the motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve resolution number 2014-06.
Yes.
Do we have a second?
I'll second the motion.
And Mr. Gonzalez seconds it. Okay. Could we have a roll call vote?
Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Gonzalez?
Yes.
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Commissioner Tartaglia?
Yes.
Chairman Hudson?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Good report.
Community Development Director's Report, Planning Project Updates.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Gonzalez?
Let's see. So now we'll go.
My favorite part of the evening, just one. Planning updates, but
can we put that in the paper?
Yeah. All right, so I'll be really quick.
We'll tape it for you.
Yeah. No, actually, there are a couple things that I'd like to talk to you about. One, I'd like to publicly again commend Ellen. She has done a fantastic job. It's with my real pleasure to announce she did successfully complete her probationary period. She's been with us a year. For all of us who've been around, you know, getting through probation, that's a good feeling. So, so now she's got to really screw up before we can do anything, you know. But in all seriousness, I probably don't need to say very much because I think all of you know we're very, very impressed with the work. She's been a great addition to our department. She's helped me out immensely. You know, a lot of the work we do goes unnoticed. And somebody asked me the other day, I said, how come you guys never look like you break a sweat? And, you know, we spend a lot of time planning things out together. You know, we've gotten a ton of work done. I can tell you the work that we do, the two of us, probably in any other city takes three or four and a bunch of consultants. We just have a really dedicated assistant planner, and she's been fantastic. I can assure you, and what we do in most departments is done by four or five people and a cadre of consultants, but you're nor there. Anyway. So congratulations, Ellen. We're glad to have you aboard.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Would again like to encourage the Planning Commission, take a minute, look at what we call it the WIP, the implementation plan. That is our roadmap for the next year. So if you want to know where we're at, where we're going, or what we're about to do, if you kind of look through that, it will probably bring you an update in the next 2 or 3 months. Let's see. Kind of finishing up with planning, we're really excited. In the last 6 months, the city's grown by actually 230 acres through annexations. We think that's pretty good. Blossom Trail just was annexed into the city. That's the area, that was actually one of the green areas that is up on Manning, and it actually takes in the school now, Silas Barch. You know, that's been around forever and a day.
Where is that at? At Manning, south of Manning?
It's actually south of Manning. It's where Ellen... Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep. You know that Kingswood Commons, we've talked about that, has come in. And then the other piece is the high school piece, which Ellen is pointing to now, which also has been annexed. So we're pretty excited about that. Remind me of something else I was supposed
to...
That is.
Exciting.
And, you know, some of, and what we're going to tell the council is, and for those of you that were on the tour, one of the things we spent a lot of time talking to you about matchmaking and positioning. How can we as a city help developers position their property? Well, these are great examples of what we can do to help them. They could sell those properties, they could walk in tomorrow and develop them. What took us 2 to 3 months to work through processes now has gone away. So we use this time where the city, you know, where the economy is doing whatever you want it to, however you want to describe it. We've used that time in a most prudent way to get those properties developed so that if somebody walked in tomorrow and they wanted to develop, they would be much farther down the line. They just saved themselves 2 to 3 months of processing. So we're pretty excited about that. I would also let you know two other things while I'm thinking about it. One, in the Business Journal, hint, hint, there was an article that ranked Reedley number one in the state of California for employment opportunities and recovery from the 2009 to 2012 period. So that's something really to pride ourselves on. Coronado, California was number two. Visalia, I think, was like 15 or 25 or something like that. So that was really impressive.
So that's basically, Mr. Farbino, the jobs we lost during the dip up to this point right now, what we've recovered in those jobs, is that what you're saying?
So actually, you'd have to go, and I don't know the exact formula that this group used, but it was basically a number of criterion were used to determine kind of the regain in marketplace. I'm sure it could be things like increase in business licenses, you know, reduction in unemployment, new starts, a whole variety of things. But their determination was that it was number one in the state. Wow. Pretty impressive. The other element is we just received information that our bond rating from Standard & Poor's went up again. I know most people go like, woo-hoo, but, you know, from an economic development standpoint, that is absolutely huge. It doesn't get touted enough, and it really should be, because it is, you know, it really speaks volumes to the economic stability of the area, and it really is something that will help us attract other developers and development, so we're pretty excited about that.
People who spend money look at that.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I guess it's kind of that, you know, from a practical terms, do you want to come spend money with a city that has all their financial house in a row, and they're getting increases in their bond ratings, as opposed to, it is very, very common. And look at the big city that's to the north of us, and seeing how their bond rating has gone south over the last couple of years. But anyway, hopefully you might hear some more about that in the near future. I'm just moving on to engineering real quick. I've been asked a couple times what's going on with Little Caesars. And just so everybody knows, that's just one of those. It's been approved. It's under construction. We wish they would hurry up and finish and open up. But, you know, that's their prerogative. And they are slow playing their construction, and it is what it is. And they will finish one of these days, and I guarantee they'll open up. But, you know, it is, it's their business plan. So be it what it may. The bridge, we are on schedule. John Robertson, I think you've met him, has been doing a phenomenal job. They were pouring soffits the other day, pretty exciting. So those will stand and cure for probably another 10 or 15 days. So it's kind of one of those, you know, it's the ants are scurrying around and then you'll see no ants for a while. And then they'll come back, you know, the next big pour, which will be probably 3 weeks or so down the road, maybe a month, will be the complete deck. And then they'll start building out. You can see they've already kind of in front of Moonlight done a bunch of road work, prep work. On the Otani side, they've done a bunch of prep work. Mm-hmm. They're starting to do, the traffic management changed a little bit. So things are happening. They're really right on time. The project is on budget. They're doing very, very well. Sunset was just completed. I don't know if anybody noticed, but there was a big construction project over on Sunset that was done. We're getting ready to go out with the CDBG projects. And we're also getting ready to go out with an RFP for consulting services for Reed Avenue. And that concludes my report, but bear with me because I think there was something else I was supposed to tell you that I can't remember, but there's a ton of stuff going on.
Can you give us an update on the businesses that have committed, like the 33 Flavors and the...
A Big Kahuna?
Yeah, Big Kahuna.
Okay. Thanks for my report. Yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. I mean, you know, I think what you're going to find, well, Baskin-Robbins is going in. They've pulled their TIs, tenant improvements. Big Kahuna, the same thing.
Where are they located?
Okay, so Baskin-Robbins is going in over by the old Hollywood, by Fresh and Easy. Yeah.
Fresh and Easy, yeah.
Yeah. The Big Kahuna is going over by where it used to be Curves, right?
Mm-hmm. Next to Pizza Planet?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But you said, well, the other one was by Planet, so...
No, the other one was
Hollywood or Blockbuster, because that's two different locations.
Okay, it was Blockbuster, Radio Shack.
Okay, so it's okay. Over there in the north.
Hollywood's over
yeah.
South.
Yeah. Yep, okay. Sorry, my bad.
By Jack in the Box.
Yeah, by Jack in the Box. So those are the two places that are going to be. You know, again, we're called all the time. I mean, I think the next year or two, things are filling up. Those are the two big ones. You know, I've talked to you about the National Hardware that's supposed to come in. They came in and visited with us again. That looks like it's moving forward. Now, remember, I don't know if they have a lease or not. I'm just telling you from our side, you know, it's easy to throw down $200 and get an approval.
Yeah.
Now, whether they have a lease or not, I don't know.
Because they can get a lease or they can build.
Yeah. Well, they've
at least in you wouldn't we wouldn't no, really be
exactly. No, what I suspect is happening is they're getting all their ducks in a row. They're probably, my guess would be, and please don't quote me, they're probably 30 to 60 days away from entering into a lease. No reason to enter into a lease if their business plan is that they move in September, right?
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, so there's a lot of things that are percolating right now. I did remind somebody that, you know, we have spent about the last 18 months working really hard on economic development, kind of more so than we've ever done in the past. And it's a very different kind of focus than in the past. It's actually becoming very fruitful. So I think you're probably going to see a fair amount of projects that are going to come through in the next 3 to 6 months. You know, hopefully one that'll be of like a pretty good size project, like a really big project. But, you know, again, until they walk through the door, who knows what's going to happen. So those are the, like, really pretty darn sure those two things are going to happen. There's a lot of other speculative stuff we're working on all the time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Future agenda items, none at this time.
Do you have a commission have anything?
Do you have any ideas for future agenda items?
You'd like to talk, like us to go and talk to you about.
Okay.
Right at the moment.
All right. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Also move.
Ted moves. We have a second.
I'll second that.
We have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oppose? Okay. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.